This is KVNF Regional News for Thursday, April 17th. I'm Patricia Naft. Starting next year, people throughout Colorado may be able to testify on bills at the State House without having to make the trek to Denver. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
The annual legislative session lasts for 4 months, from January to May, making the drive to Denver on winter roads especially treacherous. Rural lawmakers, including Republican Representative Don Corum of Montrose, say it's hard for their constituents to come to the Capitol to testify on measures.
And what you must realize, when you're 300 miles away, that's also 2 days out of your life. Travel costs, motel costs, meals. It's very expensive for the people in the far reaches of our state to come here and testify.
Under House Bill 1303, legislative leaders would set up remote locations for the public to testify at colleges and universities across Colorado. Democratic Speaker of the House Mark Ferrandino says it could be expanded in the future.
We are limited to higher ed institutions for now. We didn't want to allow anyone from their home to do it. Well, I joked I couldn't do it from Hawaii. It has to be somewhere in state, and there would be people there, just like in committees here, to make sure that we kept decorum.
The state would initially plan to set up 5 locations. It costs about $135,000. Lawmakers on both sides of the aisle say they hope to make the legislative process even more inclusive. The state already broadcasts hearings over the web and floor debates. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Native American students with historic tribal ties to Colorado would receive in-state college tuition under a bill that cleared the House on Tuesday. Benta Berkland has more.
Democratic Representative Joe Salazar of Thornton is the main sponsor of House Bill 1124. He says it applies to members of 48 tribes across the country and is just a small part of rectifying a larger wrong.
They were forcibly removed from this place that they called a homeland. Not only that, but also the education level, the poverty level of American Indian students is so abysmal that this bill will help them be able to afford tuition in the state of Colorado.
Fort Lewis College in Durango is exempt from the measure because it already offers free tuition for American Indian students. Republican Representative Carol Murray of Castle Rock voted against the bill, saying it's not the state's role to provide in-state tuition to students living outside of Colorado.
Maybe this would attract more Native Americans to our state. Is that what our universities are all about? I mean, shouldn't we be serving a constituency that is in our state that needs to be served rather than the other way around?
It's not clear how many students would take advantage of the bill. Nearly 700 American Indian students attend state colleges and universities. The measure passed the House with bipartisan support. It now heads to the Senate. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Colorado lawmakers are considering making it easier for farmers to grow hemp in the state. Unlike its psychoactive cousin cannabis or marijuana, hemp cannot get you high, but this nutritious plant can be turned into clothing, leach toxins from contaminated soil, or possibly treat seizures. Colorado voters legalized hemp and cannabis in 2012 with Amendment 64. Earlier this year, the Colorado Department of Agriculture adopted industrial hemp growing rules and required producers to register with the state. Now, Senate Bill 184 would allow people to have larger hemp farms. It also allows people to sell products made from Colorado-grown hemp and funds university research on hemp. It passed 6-0 in the Senate's Local Government Committee. But there are other factors that could limit hemp cultivation in Colorado. Currently, it's illegal to import or sell hemp seeds, as the Denver Post reports. That means many hemp growers in Colorado have to smuggle seeds into the country illegally. Currently, Colorado officials are talking with federal agencies about creating a legal process to obtain hemp seeds. Until then, they aren't questioning where hemp growers got their seeds. Springtime in the Rockies means the return of hummingbirds, but climate change is confusing to these tiny birds. KDNK's Amy Hayden Marsh reports.
You really know spring has taken hold in the mountains when you hear this. And a red and green shimmery broad-tailed hummingbird goes whizzing by, its little wings blurring at 50 to 75 beats per second. Here's a cool fact. The female broad-tailed hummingbird builds her nest in 4 or 5 days out of spider webs and gossamer. Broad-tailed hummingbirds sip nectar from red columbine, Indian paintbrush, and sagebrush, like other hummingbirds. But unlike other hummingbirds, the broadtail has a special relationship with the bright yellow glacier lily that blooms in subalpine terrain between 9,000 and 11,000 feet just as the snow recedes.
And historically, as the broad-tailed hummingbirds would migrate up to Colorado, the timing would be just right so that as the glacier lilies were flowering, the hummingbirds were arriving, and the hummingbirds could forage on the nectar of those glacier lilies.
That's Delia Malone, Colorado Heritage Foundation ecologist and member of Roaring Fork Audubon. She says avian migration depends on daylight. In the northern hemisphere, that means when days lengthen in spring, birds head north. But the flowering of plants depends on temperature.
When you get to the northern hemisphere, flowering up in the alpine and the subalpine primarily occurs in response to the timing of snowmelt.
For eons, the two have worked together in synchrony. The days get longer, the broad-tailed hummingbirds come up from Mexico and arrive just as the snow is melting and the glacier lilies are in bloom. That's good because the little birds are exhausted from their long flight and depend on the nectar from the lilies to survive. In fact, they're hardwired to head for the glacier lilies. But that's all changing as the climate warms.
With climate change, snow is melting earlier, and the plants are consequently flowering earlier. Unfortunately, the birds are still timing their migration with photoperiod, so that by the time they get to the glacier lily, it's already flowered and dried up.
The birds show up and there's no food, all because the timing is off. This is called dissynchrony. In the short term, like for the group that's headed north right now, some birds might make it.
So although the adult might survive because they have a little more resilience, their long-term survivability of the entire population is greatly diminished. And ultimately, over decades, we see decline of the population with the potential of a decline of the species.
For now, Malone says putting out hummingbird feeders early is a good idea. For KDNK News, I'm Amy Haddon Marsh.
Stay tuned for The Sweet Sound with Joanna. For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.